Well, look what it says in Psalm 100, make a joyful noise. You say, I can't sing. Bible doesn't say you have to sing. It says, make a joyful noise. Amen. We have one of our deacons, Brother Dale Stewart. He can't sing. He makes a joyful noise. I mean, we could have Brother Dale get up and he could make a joyful noise to you today. In fact, I guess he and another fella that can't sing either, they want to sing a duet sometime. I told him, I said, you know, the first opening will be Tuesday night. You say, what's going on? Nothing. So we're going to have them come up here and they can sing and make a joyful noise. God will be pleased and we won't have to hear it. But make a joyful noise unto the Lord, it says, all ye lands. That's everybody. That's what the whole earth's supposed to do. Now, I'm going through Revelation, and we're at Revelation 19 and verses 1 to 10. It's all about praising God. And that's what's going to happen. You know, all heaven's going to rejoice then in Revelation 19, 1. But one of these days, all earth's going to rejoice too and praise God. And I got news for you. You say, well, you know, I'm just not like that. I'm kind of an introvert. But yet you would cheer for some dummy carrying a football. Well, not if you're from Michigan. You're not cheering a whole lot lately, but the fact of the matter is, or Notre Dame, I know, that's what some of you are thinking. But the truth is, you say, I'm just not like that. Well, you better practice, because one of these days we're going to be praising God, and and you ought to now. You ought to praise Him every day, not just Thanksgiving. But I love this passage. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know, if you're going to serve God, be glad. Amen. World's watching you. Amen. I mean, if you're going to serve God, you ought to rejoice. That's why I like the Pilgrims back there. You know, the Baileys, all these years they've been doing a bus route, and they're going to serve the Lord with gladness. They're going to dress up like pilgrims on Thanksgiving until Jesus comes. They may, in heaven, they may dress up like pilgrims on Thanksgiving. I don't know. But serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. And what a blessing. But I want to talk to you about just the word Thanksgiving today. And I take as my text verse 4. It says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. Now, I don't know what you think about God today, but I can tell you this, He's good. Always good. He's always good. Everything He does is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. We don't have to worry. We still have His truth. Amen? We don't have to worry. People say all the time, you know, I'm getting nervous about our grandkids. What kind of world are they going to live in? Well, we do know this. We know His truth endureth all the time. It's going to endure to all generations. It just keeps going. We just need some folks that will keep it going. Amen. And keep preaching the truth. But I want to talk to you about Thanksgiving today. Let's have a word of prayer and I'll begin. Father, thank You so much for Your many, many blessings to us. Thank You that You change us. Salvation isn't just a religious ritual. It's not just a joining of a church. God, it's a change. It's a miracle in the life of a person that comes to Christ. You make us a new person, a new creature, and old things are passed away. Our sins are gone. They're forgiven. God, you give us a new life. Thank You so much for that. And I pray that You'll help us today to be thankful for all that You've done for us. And I pray that someone today will come to Christ who's never been saved. Lord, they'll realize that You love them so much and that You've provided a way for them to be saved. Please help folks to see it today. And just work in our hearts and lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Thursday, we celebrate Thanksgiving, and we ought to be doing it every day, and we'd say it every year. It's kind of a cliche, and the truth of the matter is, I hope you do. I hope you do, thank God, all the time. But we celebrate Thanksgiving because the Pilgrims survived. That's why they had Thanksgiving. That's why they were praising God. That's why they were rejoicing. If they saw the average spread of food that we will have on our tables, they would have really been excited. Because they didn't have that. But you know what they did have? They had their lives. They were still alive. They made it. They survived. And they wanted to thank God for that. And by the way, don't let the liberals take that out of the history book. It is the truth. It is what happened. People thanked God publicly, and they made a day to stop and thank God. You say, oh, I always thought it meant Turkey Day. The only people that call it Turkey Day are turkeys. Okay, it is Thanksgiving. We're thanking God for what He did. And I've got news for you. The turkeys aren't thankful. I saw several of them downstairs coming out of the freezer. I don't think they were thankful at all. But anyway, that's a whole other story, and I've heard so many turkey jokes, I'm tired. But anyway, the Bible tells us Thanksgiving is certainly more than just a day. And thank God that we have a day like that. But the text says this. It says to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Now, here's what you have to understand. In order to go into his gates, okay, not anybody could go into his gates. He had to make a way to enter into his gates. Okay, we couldn't figure out a way. He made a way. And his gates, that talks about worship with him, to get in and worship him. To get in and praise him. Well, there's Jesus said this about that gate. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so God made a way. The only way I can go through that gate is to go the way that God made, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on a cross to pay for my sin. I cannot enter those gates as a sinful man. I cannot, my sin keeps me from that entrance of that gate. But God made a way so that I could, because God sent his son Jesus to die for me, so I can now enter into his gates. That's why the psalmist so clearly said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Because the only way I can go in is because of what he did. It's not because of what I did. Oh, you know, I'm gonna join the church. I'm gonna get baptized. I'm gonna do good deeds. I'm gonna do this. And the Bible says you're not saved by your works. You can't be saved by your works, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. See, so enter into his gates. It's the only way in through his gates are because he provided mercy. He said, "I will send my son to die for you, so you don't have to be punished for your sin. He took my punishment for me." That's a good deal, folks. Tell your face. Okay, that's a good deal. And not only his mercy, not only do I not have to go to hell because Jesus died for me, but I get to go to heaven. I'm going to tell you something, that's good stuff. Amen. I mean, not going to hell, that's good stuff, because hell's bad. Not a good place, okay? But even better than that is the fact I get to go to heaven. One of these days, I'm going to heaven. Praise God. Not because of me. Not because, well, I'm a member of Berean. But that has nothing to do with it. It's because Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay. So God says this. He says, the only way you're going to get in to this place, the only way you can worship me and you can do it right, the only way is I've made a way. And why did I make that way? Because I love you. Huh? You see, it's not my anything that lets me worship God. It's what he did. And so he says right here, he says, so shouldn't you be thankful? Shouldn't you be thankful? You can come in. You can enter my gates. And not because of what you did, but because of what he did. All worship of God, as far as the Old Testament, it all starts at the gates. And he says, you know what? If you're going to go in there, do it with thanksgiving. So I have some things I've written down here, some points. Number one is the exhortation for thanksgiving. You know, the Bible over and over and over talks about how we should be thankful. Over and over. But I've just written down a couple things. Of course, our text here says enter into his gates. I mean, shouldn't we be thankful? Hey, I can go in. Boy, I'll tell you what, when you've been out of the country, especially now, and you have to show passports, and I mean, they're checking everything. They look in your back seat and they ask questions, and they don't even smile. We went into Canada just this fall. And, you know, and I like to kid around, but you don't kid around anymore. You got to be really careful, you know. All right, why are you going to Canada? Well, I'm going to go preach. And he says, really? What church? I thought, uh-oh. What am I supposed to say? You know, honestly, and the guy doesn't smile. You know, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm just on, and pretty soon I'm like, you know, I'm thinking, okay, let's just get through this, all right? I'm waiting on the guy to get a gun out or something. All right, buddy, you're in trouble. But you know, I was so glad to come back to the U.S. We drove through Canada and did some things, and it's okay. I mean, it's all right. But you know, just things were different and everything. And then you get to thinking about, you know, maybe they don't like me or something like that. And it was just nice to actually enter Detroit. Amen. I mean, it really was. It was just nice. It was, hey, wow. You know, you say, did you get out of the car and kiss the ground? No, it was Detroit. I didn't do that, but I'll be honest with you. I was sure glad to be back in the U.S. Hey, you know what? To go through the gates and to be able to say, God, I can worship you and I can have a relationship with you and I can walk with you and you can be the vine and I can be the branch and I can do something for you. You know what? I'm going to just thank him because I know it has nothing to do with me. Because all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Huh? Every one of us. We're sinners. We deserve punishment for our sin. But he made a way so that I could walk with him. Praise God. Praise God. And so the exhortation, he said, enter into my gates with thanksgiving. Notice Colossians 3, verse 15. What's he say? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Somebody said, Pastor, you were kind of wound up in Sunday school. Well, I haven't unwound. Colossians 3, verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You ever think that maybe peace and thankfulness might kind of go together? You know, gripey people, they don't have peace, right? Gripey, I'm talking about people that are complaining all the time, they don't have peace. Why? Because everything's a complaint. You ever think thankfulness and peace might go together a little bit? I mean, you know, folks that are fretting all the time, it's because, well, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about, how about just thanking God for what you have? How about just praising the Lord for the things he's done? But I do want you to notice here, the exhortation for thanksgiving, God commands in verse 15, be ye thankful. That should be enough where we would say, you know what? I'm done griping, whining, complaining. I'm going to be thankful because God said I need to be. Listen, folks, it is time for us to understand that however bad you have it, somebody else has it worse. Amen. Amen. I got to see Brother Pace yesterday, Brother Mike Pace, and many of you have heard that yesterday morning about 7 o'clock I went out and just real excited. You know, I don't move as fast as I used to, but I move faster than some. But anyway, I'm on a roll. I got the trash in one hand and got something else in the other hand. I'm going out the door at 7 in the morning, hit my front step, and all of a sudden I'm down. You know, it would have been comical. I know it would have if somebody would have videoed. No, we're not going to redo it. But I mean, oh, I thought, good night. What in the world are you doing? And it was wet, and I was hurting, and let's have some pity. All right, well, but then I went and visited Brother, and I'm thinking, man, my elbow hurts. Another part of my body hurt. And then I went and visited Brother Pace. And I had to walk out and say, thank you, God. Because he's really hurting. And he had his surgery. Everything went good. He's doing great. But still, you know, I just, you know, he's in that chair and he can't do the things he wanted to do. And you know, somebody has it worse than you do. Somebody does. They really do. Somebody has less than you have as far as food. Somebody has less money than you do. Somebody has a worse car than yours. Somebody has a worse house than yours. Somebody has, you know, honestly, seriously, why don't we thank God? Just think it's commanded of Scripture. But notice 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Not only is it commanded by God, but notice what he tells us in 1 Thessalonians. And I preached on this in our chapel recently, but it's so true. So true. One of my favorite verses in the Scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Notice what the Bible says. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Okay? That's the will of God right there. Hey, what's God want me to do? He wants you to be thankful. That's what he wants you to do. No. I want to know if God wants me to go do some great thing. No, listen to me. Before you ever do any great thing, you're going to have to get on your knees and be thankful. I, you know, you can think, oh, I want to be a missionary. I want to be a preacher. I want to do this. I want to have a bus route. I want to do this in business. Or I want to be this in my career, whatever it may be. But before you ever do anything great, I promise you this, you better do the will of God and just thank you, God. Thank you, God. Because of you, I can do this. Amen. It's the will of God. The exhortation for thanksgiving, number one, he commands it. Number two, he tells us, this is my will for your life. Be thankful. You know, we make it all so complicated. Well, I'm just waiting on God to show me what to do next. Here's what he wants you to do next. Be thankful. That's what he wants you to do. Number one, the exhortation for thanksgiving. Number two, the exemption of thanksgiving, because that's our world today. It's left out. The exemption of thanksgiving. Most people, honestly, they are just not thankful. We are an unthankful people. Notice Romans 1, verse 21. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Romans 1. Now, I'm in a territory where I've got this feeling I'm going to make somebody mad. You get in this territory in Romans 1 and you start, oh, somebody's going to end up, don't get mad. I love you. I'm just trying to help you. I just preach what the Bible says. If you want to get mad at God, and I don't encourage you to do that. Romans 1:21, all wickedness starts right here. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. That's what unthankfulness is. It's not glorifying God for who he is. They glorified him not as God. They called him the old man upstairs. They called him other things. They criticized why they didn't have this or they didn't have that, and they put down God, and they weren't thankful. All wickedness starts right here. Verse 22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Anytime man thinks he's more wise than God, he's a fool, the Bible says. And anytime man thinks he's got things, and by the way, humanism is the worship of man. Man is the measure of all things. No, God is the measure of all things. And we fall short compared to God. And humanism wants us to be equal to or greater than God. Well, we're not, and we're not going to be on this side. It ain't happening. And professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. But where did it start? They weren't thankful. They weren't thankful. Verse 23, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. God is not corruptible. Into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. And so, all of a sudden, we don't need God anymore. We will worship man. Or birds, or beasts, or something else. And verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And so we come up with all these different ideas and different things, for example, evolution, so that we don't worship God. In the beginning, God created. Amen. That's what the Bible says, and it takes faith to believe that. But I promise you, it takes every bit as much faith to believe that something plus nothing plus nothing plus nothing times nothing divided by nothing and nothing squared equals something. It doesn't. Because nothing plus nothing plus nothing is still nothing, and nothing can't become something without something happening. And nothing can't become something. Hello. You say, wow, that's kind of what, because protoplasm didn't just all of a sudden poof be there and become a monkey. And then poof, it became a human. You say, preacher, you're making it sound stupid. What's so hard about in the beginning God? Well, that means I'd have to, you'd have to worship that God, wouldn't you? You'd have to recognize that God is God. You'd have to recognize that God is God and always has been God and always will be God. And that God put everything into being and made it all and did it all and everything else. And eventually you would have to fall down to the feet of that God. Praise God. Praise God. And that's a whole lot better than a creature. How many men have ever failed you? Anybody? Has a man ever failed you before? Oh, yeah. Man, I can give you a list of people failing me. I got all kinds of people that did me wrong and failed me. And yeah, has a leader ever failed you before? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's happened many, many times. The older you are, the more failures you could list, right? You ever fail before? Oh, no, never, no. Yeah, right? Yeah. So why in the world would we worship us? But our God's never failed. Our God's never done anything but good. Always. Always. You say, well, you know, he created humans. It's sin. No, humans chose to sin. But I'll tell you what he did do. Because he loves us, he made a way for us to be saved. Praise the Lord. And so we see that mankind has become unthankful, even to the point where we worship the creature instead of the creator. And it says in verse 26, for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Oh, yeah. You say, uh-oh, preacher, you're in trouble. I'm not in trouble. It's the Bible. If anybody's in trouble, God would have to be in trouble, and I promise you, he's not. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. By the way, that's pretty blunt, wouldn't you say?
Yes, sir.
Do you have to use your imagination, or does God just come right out and spell it out? Right? Yeah. And where's that all start? It starts with being unthankful. It's somebody saying, I'm unthankful for the way I'm made. It's a man saying, I'm unthankful that I'm a man. Yeah, that's right. Hey, sir, be thankful that God made you as a man. You know, well, I'm a man, but I'm going to become a woman. No, you're never going to be a woman. God made you a man. Okay, I'm not mad at you. I'm just telling you, you will, and you're going to be miserable all your life. I've counseled with homosexual after homosexual, and I'm going to tell you one thing that always stands out: they are not happy. And I feel bad about that because God wants us to be happy. I'm going to tell you why you're not happy. Because you're not thankful to God. That's any of us. That's you. That's me. That's any of us. We're not going to be content until we recognize, hey, God is God. And what I have and what I am and where I am. I'm an American. You know, and we praise God for where we are and who we are. He says, in everything, be thankful. Everything, give thanks. You see, in the last days, you'll notice 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2 tells us about those last days. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2, the Bible says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Boy, we see that, don't we? Unthankful, unholy. And by the way, an unthankful people is an unholy people. An unthankful church is an unholy church. Unthankful Christians are unholy Christians. You cannot be holy if you're not thankful. It's not possible. The two do not go together. In everything, give thanks. Everything. What happens is we become angry because of circumstances. We become bitter because we don't like what's going on. And pretty soon, we're involved in all kinds of ungodly things. That's why the exemption of thanksgiving is so obvious in our world today. Even to the place that, again, there's a crowd saying, well, we should not talk about God at Thanksgiving. Just like you can't talk about Christ at Christmas. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And yet, it's because, hey, we're not going to be thankful. Number one, the exhortation for thanksgiving. Number two, the exemption of thanksgiving. Number three is the explanation of thanksgiving. The explanation of thanksgiving. What is it? Well, it's just the result of someone did something for me. It's what I'm supposed to express. It's gratitude because someone did something for me. Now, here's where our problem comes in, because Romans 8:28 says, it says that God only does good things. You know, Romans 8:28, look at it. Romans 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good. All things are good. Well, that's where we have trouble. Now, you know, there's been many, many illustrations. I gave this illustration in chapel the other day, and I think it's a pretty good illustration. How many of you like tomatoes? All right, I got to put my hand down because I can't stand tomatoes. I cannot eat a tomato. How many of you cannot eat a tomato? Okay, there are several. Wow, praise God. We ought to start a club. But I just can't do it. Okay, Mom used to make every year. We had to taste everything. We had to try everything that we didn't like, and it became I just couldn't do it. And if there's a tomato, I mean, it's like, oh, I can't do it. But here's the thing that is absolutely positively amazing about that whole revelation, and that is this: I love ketchup. You're with me, aren't you, brother? I can tell we're right along on this thing. Now, not only ketchup, in fact, French fry without ketchup, I mean, it doesn't even seem right. It's not biblical. I'm going to tell you another thing. I like spaghetti, too.
Amen.
Yeah, kind of shaky on that one. I like spaghetti sauce. I like marinara sauce. Cheese sticks dipped in warm marinara sauce, it'll change your life. Amen. I'll tell you what, chili. I can eat chili. I can eat lots of chili. In fact, that's sounding real good right now. Some of you, I hear your guts growling as I preach. It's a distraction. Or is that your cell phone vibrating? But I'm telling you, I cannot eat a tomato. To me, a tomato, it's just nasty. But everything that I really like the most has tomatoes in it. Now, that's exactly what the scripture means. All things work together for good to them that love God. Because without a tomato, I would not get ketchup, and I would not eat French fries. Without a tomato, I would not get marinara. And who cares about a cheese stick without marinara? I know some of you do. But I'm just saying, listen to me. God has some things that come into my life that I don't really like. But I like the result. I really do like the result. And by the time you put that tomato in the grinder, you don't even know it was a tomato, except it stays red. I've often thought if they could just change the color, it'd help me a little bit. Here's the key to that whole thing. The explanation of Thanksgiving is this. It's a word that we use all the time in church, and that's trust. It's just trust. That's all. You have to trust God with the things. See, trust him with the things. All things work together for good. I don't like that thing. That's okay. It's not the only thing. I mean, thank God, you know, there's other things to mix in with that tomato that I happen to like, you know, and put it all together, and I really like it. And you take out the tomato, and I probably wouldn't like it. But thank God that he's shown me that I can trust him, and therefore, whatever happens, I can thank God. And I can be thankful, even though I know there's a thing I don't like, I know he's going to put it in the blender. And he's going to, and he's going to mix other things. I'm going to say, wow, that is pretty good stuff. Amen. Faith is how we can thank him for everything. And wait a minute. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him. So as I'm thanking him, I'm pleasing him as well because I'm trusting him with some things that, ooh, I don't know if I like this. Amen. That's the explanation of Thanksgiving. You say, yeah, but this is bad. This is bad. Well, it looks bad. But I promise you this, God's word's true. And he's going to take that bad thing and he's going to make it something you like. Number one is the exhortation for Thanksgiving. God tells us to. It is the will of God. The exemption of Thanksgiving. Most do not thank God for things. Three is the explanation of Thanksgiving, and that is everything works together for good. We have to trust God with it. Number four, the experience of Thanksgiving. The experience of Thanksgiving. Most of us, you know, we've had that experience where something we didn't like worked out good. Something that we just thought this is the worst thing in the world and how can you do this to me? It goes back to getting shots when we were little. I never asked my mom, could I go get a shot? I don't know if you did or not. Maybe you did. You're odd. I use the illustration all the time about castor oil. I don't know how anyone ever could create such a thing as castor oil. How many of you ever had castor oil? I use this all the time. It is, I don't know, it's just bad. Mom used to, you know, she used to say, okay, you need castor oil. I'm not going to tell you why she said that. But she would always say, now I'm going to give you a stick of gum after you drink, you take the castor oil and you can chew the gum. And it didn't offset it. Give me $100 maybe, that might. But every one of us, we know. We know exactly, okay, you know, remember when your heart was broken because when you were 17, 18, whatever it was, you were in love. L-U-V, love, right? You were so in love. Oh, I was in love. Oh, and they didn't marry you. Yeah? Right? And oh, it's over. I'm going to just end it all. I'm going to drive off the cliff. You know, and you said all those dramatic things. And now, you're pretty happy. And now, you found out what they're like. And you're saying, I'm so glad that didn't work out. See what I mean? You want me to tell the story about your best friend, don't you, that I dated? I'm not going to tell it. How about the loan that didn't work out? And now you're glad it didn't work out. You know, I've got to have this! And it didn't work out. Boy, it was a good thing. How about when the best deal was sold out? And then you went to the next store and it was cheaper. It happens all the time. Just recently, I'm trying to find a house for the senior trip, our senior. They've been really giving me a hard time this year. It's been one of the hardest years of my life. They owe me. But they finally settled on where they wanted to go, and we got that all right. And so I'm looking for houses, and I had two deals I was so excited about. And I emailed these people. Now, you know me. I don't do that. That's too technological for me. But anyway, I emailed these people, and I waited and waited and waited, nothing. I'm thinking, what's wrong with these people? Do they not want our money or not? What is the deal? And I'm waiting and waiting, and nothing happened. So finally, I went back and started looking somewhere else, and I found a better deal. And I got the better deal. And I'm thanking God over and over those other two didn't email me or whatever happened. I think my email messed up. I tell Tim, come look at mine. He rolls his eyes. Everybody rolls their eyes when I have technological problems. It's like, click, that's all you have to do. But anyway, look at Genesis 45:5. I got to hurry. Genesis 45:5. We're going real fast right now. We've kicked it into high gear. Genesis 45:5. Joseph. You remember Joseph? Here's a guy. I'll tell you what, it didn't work out for him very well in the beginning, did it? His brothers, they hated him. That's never good. Not only did his brothers hate him, they sold him as a slave. Joseph, yeah, sold him as a slave to a group that eventually sold him to Egypt as a slave. And now he's a slave in Egypt, and he goes into the house of Potiphar, who has lots and lots of money. Well, the problem is Potiphar had a wicked wife who tried to seduce Joseph. Joseph said no, she lied about him. Now he ends up in jail. And it's not going well for him at all. He does not. And there's no way in the world that he can say, these are all wonderful experiences. But yet, because there's a God in heaven. Are you listening? And that same God is available for you as well. There's a God in heaven who not only gets him out of jail, but raises him up to second in command in Egypt. And here's what Joseph says in Genesis 45 and verse 5. He says, now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves, talking to his brothers, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. God did that. Wait a minute, here's a guy praising the Lord. He was in a pit by his brothers. He was sold as a slave. He went to jail for something he did, something that he didn't do. I mean, he's thanking God. Notice Genesis 50, verse 20. And I can't get into the whole story. Genesis 50 and verse 20, same thing. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, talking to his brothers. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. He said, you did something bad, but God let it happen. And so all the things in our life that happen that we say, why did that have to happen? We just need to trust God, because we've had an experience in the past where we could say, hey, I know this happened and I didn't like it, but God worked it out for good. And that's why we sing the song, Count Your Many Blessings. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. How many benefits has God given to you? And it's been over and over and over. Number one, the exhortation. Number two, the exemption of thanksgiving. Number three, the explanation of thanksgiving. Number four, the experience. Number five is the expectation of thanksgiving. The truth is, God deserves our thankfulness. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, the Bible says. He deserves it. It's His mercy, His grace, His goodness. He deserves it. It's expected. He should be thanked. But here's our biggest problem, and that is what we expect. That's why we're in so much trouble today, honestly. It's what we expect. What about what I deserve? Do you hear it? Do you say it? Do you feel it? Yeah, well, what about what I deserve? I deserve this. We're hearing it all the time today. Here's what we deserve, according to the Bible. We deserve hell. That's what the Bible says, because we're sinners. That's what we deserve. Don't ever say, I want what I deserve, because you're headed for big trouble. It's our expectation that's the problem. See, here's the thing. He said, the Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs. Doesn't he? Everybody looks like they ate today. And will eat soon, right? Do you know, he said, I'll supply all your needs. Christian, he's going to supply your needs. Your needs, right? Well, but here's what I want. Well, a lot of times he gives us our wants too, but the truth of the matter is, you don't know what you need. I already gave that illustration. When your mom said you needed castor oil, you did. Every time my mom gave me castor oil, I needed it. How do you know? We won't get into that. The truth is, we don't know what we need, but he does. Amen. Here's the thing. I want what he wants for me, because I know he knows what's best. Our expectations, what gets us in so much trouble. You know, well, God did this. He shouldn't. He's God. Don't expect God ever to go against his word. You know, we bring about so much trouble on ourselves, and we think God ought to always bail us out, right? Well, a lot of times he does. You know, the Bible says, if any would not work, neither should he eat. That's the Bible. You say, well, you know, I don't, the world owes me a living. No, the world doesn't owe you. You're supposed to work to provide. But isn't it wonderful when God does provide and takes care of that? But he doesn't owe you anything. Sometimes he bails us out, but sometimes he wants us to learn we need to bail ourselves out. I'm just about done. Number five, again, the expectation of thanksgiving. What are you expecting today? It could be why you're so bitter. You expected something that was not the will of God. The example of thanksgiving, the Lord Jesus, over and over and over and over, he was thankful. As he walked on this earth, he thanked his Father. He thanked him for provision. When's the last time you thanked God for the food you're about to eat? I'm not talking about just some cute little formula kind of thing that you just recitled. I'm talking about where you just, God, thank you for providing for me. Thank you for a roof. You know, we just went through last winter with a roof that leaked. It's kind of easy now to, boy, thank you, Lord, for roofs that don't leak. Remember walking in, we had buckets all over the foyer, and you know, you walk through the foyer and you're tick, 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 drips are dripping all over the place, and sometimes they went drip. Right? I didn't have any way to cover it up when it dripped on my head. And that nasty, brown, ugly-looking water, oh, man. Dale tried to tell some people we were going to serve it for communion. Jesus, he thanked his Father for provision. He thanked him for answered prayer. When's the last time you thanked God for answered prayer? He said, thou hast heard me. Huh? You say, well, I don't like the answer. Well, no is an answer. We just don't like him to tell us no. That's our problem. He thanked him for giving us his word. Jesus thanked God, the Father, for the Word of God. When's the last time you have a Bible? Nobody has to leave here today without a Bible. We'll give you a Bible. Praise the Lord. It's available to us. And you know what? When you walk out on the street, nobody will kill you because you're carrying a Bible, like in some countries. Jesus, the example of thanksgiving, he was thankful for his own death. Before he died on the cross, he was thankful for his own body that was about to be broken, beaten, ripped to shreds, and for his own blood that was about to be spilled for us. When's the last time you stopped and thanked God for sending his son to die on a cross? I close with number 7. That's the expression of thanksgiving. The expression of thanksgiving. Say it. What's that? Praise him. Talk about it. Give testimonies about it. Talk to him about it. Thank you, God, over and over and over. Thank others for what they do. When's the last time you thanked somebody for what they did? Young people, when's the last time you thanked your parents for putting food on the table? When's the last time you thanked them for the clothes you wear? When's the last time you put on a coat when it's below zero and you thanked your parents? Thank you for giving me that. Well, they're supposed to do it. You're a dummy. When's the last time you were thankful for your job? You prayed that God would give it to you. Now all you do is gripe about it. Weird. Say it. Sing it. You know? Come before his presence. It says in Psalm 100, come before his presence with singing, praising God. We just don't do it enough, honestly. You know? It's sad. Show it. Show it. You know, look at Colossians 3:17. I'm right at the end here. Colossians 3:17. Show it. So important. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Hey, bus driver, thank God you can drive a bus. Thank God you can go around and pick up little kids. Amen? About the time you get unthankful about that thing, you'll be doing something else. Sad, isn't it? Hey, Sunday school teacher, thank God you can teach children. Thank God you can teach people. Thank God you can serve God that way. You know, and whatsoever you do, word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. Whatever it is. Play the piano, thank God. Sing, thank God. Be in the choir, thank God. Work nursery, praise the Lord. I can do this for God. Do all. Psalm 100, serve the Lord with gladness. God's people need a revival of smiling and happiness and rejoicing and praising the Lord. And it all starts with our hearts being thankful to our God. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. No